The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, sometimes you get a game on a Thursday night or a Monday night, the national games that we all can enjoy across the country, that competitively is a disaster, but they're still fun to watch. And I think last night's game was fun to watch. If you didn't have a dog in the fight, I think it was an enjoyable game to watch Derrick Henry steal the spotlight, own the night, tie the NFL record with a 99-yard touchdown run, and to see the fans in Nashville at Nissan Stadium chant his name, to have him go back to score his fifth touchdown of the night at late in the end when they had the ball at the goal line. He didn't get it, but that was one of those games where you're watching a really fantastic performance by an individual player. Yes, Jacksonville's a mess. I mean, they're a mess, and we know that going in, but to watch Tennessee use Derrick Henry so well and watch Derrick Henry explode like he did, I think it was an enjoyable game. I think it was one of those games where, again, if you're just taking the competitiveness out of it and saying, hey, listen, this is a pretty historic performance. I mean, listen, there's a generation that you don't see 99-yard touchdown runs. I mean, the last one was 83? I mean, it just, to see one and to see just, and to watch the way he did it too, it's like, it was so different than Tony Dorsett's, because Dorsett's, he just busted through the line and found an opening and then boogied down the field and scored the touchdown. He's like knocking people over. He's grabbing guys and throwing them down, and guys are trying to hold on to him. And he's a big guy and he's hard to take down, and it showed. He just ran through Boye and he ran through Smith. I mean, he ran through the Jags defense. Not only that, he had a 54-yard touchdown run in the game, too. I mean, he just owned the night in Nashville. And for a season where Tennessee's offense has had such wide gaps of ups and downs, it's just been incredible. Where they've had games where they didn't score a touchdown, to a game like last night where one player gets four. It was a great night in Tennessee. Great night in Nashville for the Titans. The Jags have a lot of work to do, but we knew that narrative going in. Tennessee now putting themselves at 7-6. And again, when you're looking at teams that are fighting for that final wildcard spot in the AFC, here are the Titans that don't seem to be going away. We'll talk more about the game last night, as well as some other things around the league on SB Nation AM.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the Titans win last night 30-9, a uncompetitive game, but nevertheless, Derrick Henry exploding for 238 yards. Including a 99-yard touchdown run. That was fun.
I guess you can say he had a good night.
Yeah, he was fun. I liked how the Titans fans just chanting his name, like, get more touchdowns! Yeah, it's freezing cold!
Run up the score!
Run up the score! The Titans were trying to run up the score at the end of the game. That was lost on a lot of people last night, because I'm going to be honest with you, that is not something NFL teams do. It's not college. They don't run up the score on the opponents. You're up 30-9. You run the ball. If you get in, you get in. If you don't, you don't. They tried to throw on a fourth down. They tried to throw. I mean, you know, that just doesn't happen. They don't run up scores. And yet the Titans were trying. They purposely sent Derrick Henry back into the game for the fans. To give the fans what they wanted in that game. And that, again, NFL teams just go, nah, we're not doing that to them. We're all brothers here. We're not going to run up the score.
Yeah,
we're beating them pretty bad. We're not doing it.
I have no problem with Vrabel sending Henry in.
Oh, I don't either. I liked it. I thought it was great. I wanted him so badly to score.
Yeah, maybe we were just caught up in the moment. You know, but it was one of those things. Like, I was just like, you know what? Yeah, put him in. Let's see what happens. Why not?
No, and again, but it is such a rare thing to see. I remember, you know, in my time covering the Broncos, this was something like Mike Shanahan wouldn't do. He wouldn't do it against the Raiders. Like against the Raiders. Like, he hated the Raiders. They fired him, and he was, you know, went to Denver, and it's a big rivalry. Wouldn't do it. He would not do it. And, you know, they asked him, like, yeah, the ball, and why did you take a knee? And he's like, no, we just don't do that. And so NFL teams usually don't. But Mike Vrabel had no problems with this. Derrick Henry was sitting on four touchdowns. The fans were screaming they wanted another one. They just wanted another one. And again, you're a first-year coach. You're in a city. It's had, your season's had ups and downs. The fans are having fun. It's a fun night. It's cold. It's Thursday night. It's everyone's got to go to work the next morning, but who cares? You're getting a historic performance. You saw something you never see in the NFL, a 99-yard touchdown run. So everyone's leaving there. I mean, they should all get commemorative something. I mean, because that is just so rare. And yeah, five touchdowns. Put five touchdowns on the board. Why not? Give them another chance. Put another one on the board. And I had no problems with it. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic.
No, it was absolutely fun. We've known that Derrick Henry could be a good running back. And I don't know if yesterday was just an anomaly or, hey, this is things to come. But, you know, he proved that, you know, he is a player in this league.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he's really hard to take down. I mean, he's just a good running. You know, and DeMarco Murray had like a pretty good time in Nashville, and they got rid of him because they wanted this offense to run around Henry. They wanted the offense to go right through Derrick Henry, and that was the kind of night that makes people aware of, okay, this is where the Titans need to be going with this. Marcus Mariota is not a 400-yard, 350-yard quarterback. I mean, he needs a solid running game around him. And to see that last night, like, okay, this is what Tennessee wants to do, and if they can do it with this guy, it's pretty good. It's really fun. It was really fun to watch. So, and by the way, I got to say this. It's just a broadcast geeking thing of it. The moment that Joe Buck had his dad's call, they showed his Jack Buck's call of Dorsett's run. I thought that was great. I really give props to the Fox people, for NFL Network people, whoever's running the production of that game last night. That was a great, great moment, where they had the video of Tony Dorsett's 99-yard touchdown run, and Buck says his dad was calling the game for CBS Radio at the time, and they had it, you know, synced with the video, and I thought that was cool. I mean, it's neat that the two runs in NFL history of 99 yards have been both called by Jack Buck and his son Joe Buck. That's great. I thought it was great.
Fate.
I know. It's awesome. Awesome. And just hearing Jack Buck again, I remember when I first got in this business, What we used to do is we used to cart up sound bites and we used to save them on an archive. And it was back then, it was reel to reel. So we would have these carts of play by play cuts. And then one of my jobs, I worked in overnights and I was producing the morning show and producing sports. But one of my jobs was I used to have to archive some of the play by play cuts of big time sporting events that we would have. So for later use. And we used to carry all of the calls of Jack Buck and the big NFL games. And my job, again, would take these carts. We'd stack them up over the months, and I would have to put them on a big reel-to-reel, and I would get to listen to them. And Jack Buck was great. I mean, he was so great. So I'd listen to all of these game cuts of Buck calling famous moments in the Super Bowl and famous moments in All-Star games, whatever it was that he was doing for the radio. And it's just to hear it last night was cool. I mean, that was a neat moment. For those two to be entwined in two of the greatest runs from scrimmage in NFL history. It was a pretty neat moment.
All right, but who's better? Was it Dorsett or Henry?
In terms of the run?
If we have to compare the two.
The two runs?
Yes.
Oh, I think Derrick Henry's was better. He was running over people. It was so cool. He was throwing his arm out, and they were like, I can't even hold on. He was plowed through.
It reminded me of Marshawn Lynch's run in that playoff game against
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was taking people with him.
Yeah, where he just, I mean, literally just throwing. I can't remember who the first person he was that he threw down to the ground.
Yeah, A.J. Boye came in, and he just threw him down. Yeah, I mean, it was just insane.
And that's a good cornerback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's someone who, you know, has definitely made his name in the league, and he just tossed him like a rag doll.
Tossed him down. And then he had others trying to drag on him. He pushed those guys aside and barreled into the end zone. Dorsett's run was clean. I mean, he like pretty much broke through the line, and then when he had that opening, it was lights out good. He headed to the sidelines, boogied down there, and then cut back in and scored the touchdown. It was against the Vikings. And that was Monday. It was on a Monday Night Football. And Dorsett showed, you know, speed. This Henry really showed strength, really showed the inability of Jacksonville to wrap him up. Because in essence, he should have been knocked out of bounds. He should have been, you know, at least stopped.
Pushed.
Yeah, but
to take him down,
he was like, nah,
him.
I'm done. I'm going to carry you, push you down, throw you to the ground. You
can't push score a touchdown out of bounds. Come on.
I know. God, he's huge. Just huge.
That was fun.
It was, again, right. It was like a non-competitive game, but it was really fun to watch. It reminds me of it was reminding me last night of watching a basketball game that's not, you know, again, not competitive, but you're watching one player try to score like 55 points or 60 points or something along those lines. Like I kept watching like at one moment I'm like, is Derrick Henry going to run for 300 yards in this game? He could have. I mean, he literally could have. And it was that kind of, I kept wondering like how much statistical history is this guy going to generate tonight? When you're running and you have a 99 yard touchdown run pretty early in the game and like everything is gravy after that, like you're already at the 100 yard mark, everything else. I mean, you're playing around with potential history here. It was a great, great fun night. And I'm glad for the people of Tennessee. Again, the Titans have been so up and down. This is a 7-6. You know, of course, if you're 7-6, you've had your ups and downs. But the needle on the offense has been so crazy for this team this year. And a night like that, or a night where they won like 9-6 against Jacksonville with three field goals, and were shut out by the Ravens this year, and all of the issues that they've had. To have a night like that where they just come out and Derrick Henry barrels through for 238 yards and four touchdowns. How great was that? And he threw a 54 yarder in the fourth quarter, just on top of the 99 yard run.
And usually that's good enough. Usually that's,
yeah,
you know, that's your run of the night.
Right. When Philip Lindsay of the Broncos scored a 65 yard run against Cincinnati last week. I mean, like all my Bronco fans on Twitter were like 65 yards. Hey, Henry's was 54, and that wasn't his best run of the night. It wasn't his best run of the night by 45 yards. I mean, that's a great performance. I mean, a great performance. And he seemed humble about it afterwards. I mean, just talked about, you know, he's just, a good night in Tennessee. And Jacksonville, look, there's a lot of problems in Jacksonville. But if you're Blake Bortles, I got a question. If you're Blake Bortles, do you look at Cody Kessler and go, you know what? If I can't come back and take this job over, I'm never going to play for this team again.
Never.
Like if this guy out there that looks just like me, is playing like me, is doing absolutely nothing. He's getting sacked. He's starting
to be honest.
If I can't win this job over him, I can't play it. I can't play for this team.
Kessler looks worse than Bortles.
Oh, he did. He did.
At one point, I was getting ready. It's like, you know what? They're going to put Bortles back in because why not?
Oh, absolutely. There was one point I thought they changed quarterbacks and I didn't know. I was like, wait a minute. That's Kessler again. Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're Bortles, you're like, this is it. If I can't win this job, I mean, I can't get this job again.
No, I think what they need to do, what they should do, what the NFL is to say, you know what, hey, Jaguar fans, we're just going to throw two centers out there, have both your quarterbacks go out there, and hope for the best.
And hope for the best, right? Just play it up.
And I guarantee you they'll both either get sacked or incomplete pass.
How completely disappointing is that? Just to go from the playoffs last year to this. It's so disheartening for Jags fans. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. I want to dive into Jacksonville a little bit coming up. An interesting article at The Ringer talking about Jacksonville, the difference between last year and this year. And there may be a solution to some of Jacksonville's woes, but it involves one key thing, and I'll tell you what that is next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, known for our guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so the Jacksonville Jaguars fall to 4-9, and listen, this has been a very disappointing season. They are probably the most disappointing team this year. I have made the argument about the Atlanta Falcons because I think the Falcons coming off a Super Bowl appearance 2 years ago, a playoff loss to Philadelphia last year. They went on the road and beat the Rams, and then they lost to the Eagles last year in the postseason. And this year now, they're just mired in mediocrity. They've had injuries and problems. Jacksonville, I think the reason why when I equate the two teams in terms of disappointment, Jacksonville had swam in the bottom of this league for so long and then had one good year where they went to the AFC championship game. But let's not forget they weren't dominating the AFC. I mean, they had to go on the road to play Pittsburgh. They had a home wild card game against Buffalo, winning the division. But the future was so bright for Jacksonville because we thought everything had paid off. Like all of the years in which they were not only drafting in the top 10, they were drafting in the top 5 for a long period of time. And they were building up a roster of good, solid young talent. They felt like they had their quarterback in Blake Bortles that was just one day going to make it. He was going to make it, I swear. And eventually they had it. But props to The Ringer, because a lot of people wouldn't do a real in-depth analysis on Jacksonville because, they don't have a huge fan base and whatnot, but it's an interesting, at least I found it interesting given what they did last year compared to what they have to do this year. And it boils down to, according to The Ringer, that the Jacksonville scored so early in their games last season that and I'll read it from the article because I think they set it up best. They said Jacksonville forced opposing offenses to throw the ball to catch up. So they got out to a lead early and they forced opposing offenses to throw the ball to catch up, which allowed their pass rushers to wreak havoc and then made quarterbacks chuck the ball downfield into the teeth of their defense, which was really talented in the secondary. And then that allowed Leonard Fournette to kill the clock, which five, and this is the big one, meant Blake Bortles didn't have to do anything. And that was the key to their victories last year. And now they're not getting off to those kind of starts. So they put so much emphasis on Bortles before they benched him to have to do something. And he's incapable of doing anything. And so that's one of the reasons that they've struggled. They're struggling because they don't have a quarterback. They're not struggling because they don't have talented players. They do. They're struggling because their quarterback is incapable of getting back in games when they trail or creating things when they need them to create something. So let me throw this out there. Jacksonville's got a problem because Bortles is owed a lot of money, and they went all in on him, and they've got if they release him, there's a lot of dead money that's going to count. They don't have a lot of cap space. It's been pointed out they have minus $12 million in $12 million in cap space. So they've got to get rid of some players. They're going to have to cut some players. Defensive tackle Marcell Dareus is likely to go. He's owed $30 million over the next 3 years. That's going to save some spots. So here's the problem. They're going to have to trade Blake Bortles to help relieve some of the debt. But in order to do that, because nobody's going to want Blake Bortles, they're going to have to pair him up with draft picks. Draft picks teams want and don't mind doing what the Texans had to do with Brock Osweiler when they shipped him to Cleveland, which is, we're going to throw some picks that you really want. You're going to take the quarterback and release him. That's fine. But can you get him off our hands? Here's some draft picks that you're looking for. Take this to take that. And that's what Jacksonville is going to have to do. Because no team is going to trade for him straight up. But if Jacksonville has some pieces that they can attach to Bortles in a trade, a team will take them, then release them, and then keep what, you know, keep the draft picks that they really want in the first place. That's really the only way they're going to be able to free up money to find a way to get like an Eli Manning back down there or anything else that they want to do defense. This is too talented of a team in areas to be blowing it on building up another quarterback. Like, their window with some of the talented players that they have is shrinking, and because they don't have a quarterback, they might be smack dab in the middle of right down to the bottom of the division again for a couple of more years. And that's too bad. This was a division that had such high promise. Again, a healthy Houston team, Andrew Luck back, Texans coming off a playoff year, and Jacksonville a quarter away from going to the Super Bowl. This should have been must-see TV. This game, I know it's hard to sort of envision it, but at the beginning of the season, I deal with season ticket holders, guys who do Titans season ticket holders forever, Titans fans. This was the game they were excited about at the beginning of the season. Over the summer, when we had the schedule and was processing the schedule and was released in April, this was the game. A home game against the team that won the division that was so good last year. Oh my God, if we could, that's the game you want. Thursday night, prime time, let's go to that one. When it came around before the game last night and we didn't know it was so historic, I mean, you go to, I was going to my Facebook page, Craigslist, people giving away tickets. They didn't want to go. The Titans were just uninspiring. Jacksonville was a mess. It was going to be cold.
No, this was, it was supposed to be one of those games late enough in the season that it might have real implications towards playoff runs.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe the Titans are able to squeak in, and if they do, it's all because of Derrick Henry from this point on, because it's not going to be Mariota.
Nope.
But you and I were talking about it beforehand. It's like, hey, are you even going to watch?
Yeah. It was not
one of those games where you legitimately were asking fans out there, are you going to watch? If you're not a fan of the Titans, you're not a fan of the Jaguars, are you going to watch tonight?
Yeah, I was telling a friend of mine about this. It reminded me, and I think we talked about it yesterday, it just reminded me of those years where Tennessee and Jacksonville had to get a national game, because all teams do. So they go, hey, let's throw it out there. Let's, play on Thursday night. Like, Cleveland never plays on Monday Night Football. They play on a Thursday night because they got to get the one game in. Titans and Jags, let's kill two birds with one stone. These two terrible franchises, put them together on a Thursday night, get it over and done with. Hell. And they used to play, these games would be horrible.
No, you
horrible
and I,
games.
You and I yesterday, we were talking more about, hey, are they going to bring out those awful uniforms? Rather than talking about, hey, are we going to watch Mariota step it up? Is Bortles going to even get into the game? We weren't even talking football. We were just talking about the color of their uniforms, because in the past, it has just been putrid.
That's been it. That's been the only thing that's the only thing you've got with these two teams used to play. And it was heading into that direction. I think it was a pleasant and fun surprise last night. It just to see, again, not a competitive game, but it was entertaining from the standpoint of watching one guy do what he did in Derrick Henry. That was the key last night.
Yeah, and still, we're talking about this. We're not even talking, Titans, Jaguars. We're talking about, Derrick Henry put on a show for us last night. Thank you, Derrick Henry, for making last night's Thursday Night Football game relevant.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking it up. He's 6'3", 247. That's what a good size.
Isn't that the size of a bus?
that is amazing.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
I might be near one of those numbers.
Yeah, I might. Yeah. Oh God, I wish mine started with a 2 and a 4.
Now,
I got it down about a year ago, and then I was like, popped back up again.
Someone you and I know very well hated last night. Well, he didn't hate last night's game, but is very disappointed.
Okay, who?
Bobby Beats.
Oh, why? Tell us why Bobby Beats was disappointed last night.
He has Derrick Henry on his roster.
Oh,
guess where he left him?
He left him on the bench, really? No.
Well, you can't. Why would you think?
Nah, that's true.
But I mean, yeah, that on his fantasy roster, that was 45 points just sitting there.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
I mean, really, he hasn't had over, I think, 60 yards in like four or five games now. I mean, his statistical.
I think he doubled it last night, right?
I don't think he's.
Season?
We'll have to look this up. I don't think he's had a 100-yard rushing game either this year or. I don't think he's had 100 yards rushing this year. I'll have to look that up. Because I know the conversation has been Derrick Henry. They want the offense to run through Henry, but it hasn't been working out as well. So I'll have to look that up because I don't think he's rushed for over 100 yards this year.
Now, you want to know the totals?
Yeah, give me the totals.
The most he's had in a game this year is 58 yards.
Okay. So there you go.
And that was against New England.
Yeah, there you go.
So he had one run that almost eclipsed his highest game total this year.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he's had days where it was like 26 yards, 24 yards, 30 yards.
Even Deion Lewis, I mean, they're just trying to find their running game. And Derrick Henry, 238 on 17 carries, 99-yard touchdown run. Well, well, well done. SB Nation Radio.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
I missed the college football awards ceremony last night. I don't usually watch that, by the way. I don't know. I find it weird. I don't know. Like, I'm a Heisman Trophy guy, but I don't really watch the whole television presentation because I'm just not interested in a 15-minute piece on every single player. I might be over exaggerating, but I feel like that's the way it is.
It's all filler.
So last night they had an award ceremony last night, and it has that feel of like the Academy Awards. You know, the guys are in the stands and they go, and this award, and they show them, and here's the nominees and that kind of thing. I didn't watch it, but now I'm confused as to who's going to win the Heisman Trophy because at the beginning,
thing I was thinking too.
Because the beginning of the day yesterday, there was the report that Kyler Murray won the AP College Football Player of the Year. Right?
He's got the Heisman.
So he was, and he won by, and here was the key. He won by like 56 votes or something. However they do it, however they tally it, it was pretty convincing. It wasn't really narrow. And so I thought, okay, that means he's in. He's a lock. A lot of these guys vote for the same thing. So, I mean, he's going to win the Heisman. So Tua shows up last night. And he wins the Maxwell Award. And that's given out to the best player of the year.
Yep, that Tua's getting the Heisman.
Right? So that means Tua's getting the Heisman. And then Murray wins the Davey O'Brien Award, which goes to the best quarterback. And there's only three quarterbacks in the Heisman Trophy. So now he's going to win the award again. I don't know. Who's on first? I don't know. What's on second? I don't know. I don't know how to make up with the Heisman Trophy.
I think at this point, by that rationale, Tua gets the Heisman because they keep flip-flopping.
Right.
So it's Tua's turn.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that Tua won the Walter Camp Award that's another best player honor.
All right, you know who's getting the Heisman?
Dwayne Haskins. He's going to be
dark
like
horse.
And I won the whole thing. You guys split all that other hardware. I got this.
I'll get the one that counts.
I can't figure this thing out. I'm really trying. I'm really trying to like handicap this for tomorrow, and I can't. I can't figure out who's going to win.
I'm watching it my news feed. I'll get alerts on my phone. I'm at my son's baseball practice watching Titans Jaguars at the game. I love
modern technology is the best.
It's incredible. I can sit there and be like, yeah, son, great hit. man, look at that run. And an alert comes up and like Tua gets this award. I'm like, oh, all right. You know, I was like, okay, I guess maybe it's not going to be Kyler. And then all of a sudden, Kyler gets this award. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know. I think maybe the Heisman committee is just going to start throwing darts.
Yeah, they're just going to we'll peg it out. So I thought Murray was the favorite, but I'm not sure now. So Tool was in his walking boot last night, I guess, and he's got a private plane. Oh, he'll play.
He'll play.
If it was this weekend, no, but he's got like a month. Yeah, he's got like four weeks, whatever it is. God, I don't want to say that because I have absolutely no idea what the calendar looks like. It's creeping up on Christmas.
Hey, if you're Oklahoma, do you hope that Tua wins the award?
Wins the Heisman?
Yeah. Hear me out, because they're facing off against Alabama in the first in the semifinal, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So my rationale to it is that I would want Tua to win the award because if Kyler on the other side of the field wins it, then Tua's going to have something to prove.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want that.
You know, he's going to everyone's going to say, oh, you know, he didn't win it because of his injury, didn't win it because he doesn't finish games, and then Tua's going to go out there and have a Derrick Henry-esque night.
That game is so interesting because Alabama is going to put up a lot of points in Oklahoma because everybody puts up points against Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is the only team that Alabama has played, maybe outside of Georgia, that can meet them touchdown for touchdown. Alabama's defense is not as awesome as it used to be in the past. And so this is going to be an interesting game. The problem is, and I think this is where Oklahoma is going to have a problem winning, is that Alabama's defense may not be as stout, but it's better than Oklahoma's. So,
and it's better than anything in the Big 12.
Anything they've ever faced in the Big 12. So while it's exploitable, and I'm not saying that Oklahoma's not going to put up points because they know how to put up points. The problem is that Alabama is going to get a few stops. And is that going to be enough stops where that doesn't, because Tua's, if he's healthy, he's going to chuck it all over this Oklahoma defense. I mean, they're going to pile on points, and Oklahoma can do the same, but does Alabama make enough few stops and maybe a few defensive plays, maybe some turnovers and whatnot, where Oklahoma just runs out of time and space and they can't come back? So this could be an interesting game, but I don't know. If I was a betting guy, and I'm not, but I'm still going to lean towards Murray winning the Heisman tomorrow. I think he's going to win. And if he wins that, you know what's interesting is that I remember when Mark Ingram won the Heisman in 2009. And if you had asked me before the Heisman ceremony and all the info that was coming out, if you said, okay, Mark Ingram is the favorite to win the Heisman, and I don't know if he was that year, but if you said, okay, Mark Ingram wins the Heisman, he will join how many Alabama players who have won the Heisman Trophy? Back in 2009, I would have said, I don't know, 3, 4. The answer was 0. He became the first Alabama player to win the Heisman Trophy. Is it me, or does that sound like a statistical anomaly? Does that sound like something that shouldn't happen?
Sounds like somebody's wrong.
Right.
If you heard
exactly.
That.
And it reminded me of Derek Jeter when Derek Jeter got 3,000 hits and said, all right, how many Yankees have had three? Oh, four, oh, five,
at
six, right?
Five.
At least 4 or 5. Right? 0 was the answer to that question.
That would have said you were wrong there too.
Exactly. It's just one of those sports things that doesn't seem to fit.
DiMaggio hitting 56 straight. Of course he had 3,000.
Of course he had 3,000 hits, right? Of course. Why wouldn't he have 3,000? I thought he would have 3,500 if I wasn't looking it up.
Wasn't he pushing close to 4,000? Wasn't he chasing Ty Cobb?
Right. Of course. That's exactly what I would have assumed. Alabama, with all of the great players that have gone through that program with Bear Bryant and all those, I mean, name them. I mean, just not one of them took home the Heisman like in 1950 or 60. No, none of them did. None of them did. And so that was a little surprising. And then Derrick Henry won, and now Tua is trying to become the third Alabama player in history. You know how many Oklahoma has? Oklahoma has like 7 that have won the Heisman Trophy. They're like tied with Notre Dame or something like that. I mean, so it was one of those weird, I don't know, factoids of the Heisman Trophy coming out.
I guess it means that more Heisman voters live in Big 12 country than SEC country?
Must be. Or SEC coverage guys or media guys in the South get a little snobby when it comes to voting. and they split their votes in the South between, I'm never voting for a Tide player. And,
or maybe it's just, you know what, let them have the Heisman. We'll just keep racking up national titles.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that. Heisman, who cares? That's all New York award. Ugh.
Yeah, that Yankee maybe that's award.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
We want the real one.
And maybe just that's how it worked. They just going to split. Whereas there was more unification amongst good players, back in the day. I don't know.
I mean, I would never have thought that.
I know, right? Completely. I mean,
I'd be up there with saying, you know, hey, the Celtics never had a most valuable player ever.
Oh, something like that. Right. Yeah. Something like that.
Come on. All the greats that went through there.
Yeah.
Isn't it named the Bill Russell Award? But I mean, that's exactly the same spot we would be in. It's like, the Celtics never had an MVP.
Yeah, it's just weird. The 2009 was the first Alabama player to win. I mean, Notre Dame has 7. Oklahoma has I think either Oklahoma has 6 and will get 7, or will get 8 if Murray wins. I can't remember, but either way, a bunch.
Now, do you think maybe it's television exposure?
Could be.
Alabama just, I mean, it's kind of like be. That lost state no one cares about.
I mean, think about it. I mean, it's a weird. Do you remember when Hawaii was good? You remember because you lived in Hawaii. Remember when Hawaii was good and Colt, what was it, Colt Brennan was their quarterback? Remember, and they had a
that
problem because, yeah, that,
one, that
season.
One season when they were good.
They had a problem because their games were on so late. And a lot of the voters that were on the East Coast just could not watch them
where
the game started, right? But so what they did was, this is why June Jones would have Colt Brennan in Hawaii run up the score and put up as many points as they could, because they were doing what they called was box score politics, which is, if you live in New York and you're a voter, whether an AP voter or a Harris poll voter, or you live in Philadelphia, wherever, and you ain't staying up at 12:30 at night to watch the Warriors play football, what you would do is you'd wake up the next day and you would say, what was the score? Holy cow, 77-3. Wow. Let me check that out. And then you would look at the numbers and they would be fantastic and they would be great. And you're like, wow, there's supposed to be something going on in Hawaii. And then the next week they would do the same thing. Wow, this is something great. And that's how you did it. Because if you can't get exposure, if you can't get looks, the only way you can get attention is by box score, you know, basically box score politics, which gets as much numbers on the page as you can.
You got to make a name for yourself. And you got to become a talking point.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, for us, I mean, even, you know, we live in the central time zone. Games here don't Hawaiian games don't start usually until like 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh, 11, exactly.
The only time I'm watching that is if I'm still awake. Like, I couldn't sleep. So I'm like, I'll throw on some football. And even then, I'm falling asleep during the game.
Oh, years ago, I mean, I was a big Pac-12 After Dark guy, right? I mean, I used to stay, my kids would be asleep. My wife would be watching TV in the other room. She'd probably fall asleep. I'd be in the media room or downstairs. I'd watch Washington State, USC, USC, Stanford, whatever, late into the night. As I've gotten older, Pac-12 After Dark is even harder on a Saturday, right? I mean, like, I'm not a young chicken anymore. Pac-12 After Dark, when it's like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, okay, all right. Oh boy. I got a day tomorrow. But Hawaii games oh my God, that's a different world. Are you kidding me? They might as well play that in Ireland for all I care. I mean, I have no idea how people watch those games when they're on at 12 o'clock at night on ESPN 7 or whatever games they were on. But again, my point going back to the Heisman is, that's how the Heisman was pretty much voted on back in the day. Those guys couldn't watch, USC players in Alabama. I mean, the games weren't on. Games weren't plentiful. Games weren't all over your television. Back then, you had 3 channels, and that was it, with an antenna on your roof. You weren't going to get to watch UCLA. You weren't going to get to watch Oklahoma. If you lived in Georgia, those games were done. You weren't getting those games. So how did you vote for the Heisman? Box score politics, right? Box score campaigning. Right. Oh, there you go. I'm hearing a buzz in Oklahoma about this running back, hearing a buzz about this Notre Dame quarterback. I'm hearing a buzz about this USC guy. I'm following and I'm talking to other people. Maybe I'm making some phone calls because I take my vote seriously. But that's how they did it. Now, good Lord, sit in front of 10 TVs every Saturday. If you're a Heisman voter, you can watch everybody. You can watch everybody. So, and I think, I think that's maybe why Alabama just didn't win Heisman trophies for years. They had good players, but there was just not a unification of people enough to get votes. like other nationally programs that were on national TV. All right, 800-777-2907. Cruising along on a Friday as we get ready for another weekend of NFL action. Yeah, and no college games except Army Navy coming up this weekend. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I try not to be a host that gets preachy. I don't like hosts who do that, where they sort of lecture you on what you should do and what you should think. What I give you my thoughts, and I hope you either share them or disagree, whatever. But can I urge you younger people out there to watch Army Navy this weekend? Just watch it. It's unlike any college football game you'll ever see. It's the pageantry is brilliant. The patriotism is fantastic. The unification, the hatred of the two just on the football field, but the unification afterwards is fantastic. It's great.
It is a lot of fun to watch.
It really is. It's an amazingly special game.
Even when both teams have been terrible. And you won't know any of the players. Believe me, you won't know anyone on no one goes to Army or Navy anymore. And it's not like back in the day when Roger Staubach went to, was playing for Navy. You won't really have those type storylines. So it really is all about tradition.
It is. It's about tradition, and it's incredible how it's something more and it's something better. And you know where these guys are going afterwards. The seniors are where they're heading. Right? They're heading. I have had a career. I've moved around a lot, and I've gotten a lot of crap for that from family and friends who are like, man, you move around all the time. I think you live one life and people live it however they want to live it. And I have been blessed to have lived in so many different areas and got to see so many different things and be around so many different people. And I love it. I love that my career has taken me places. I feel really blessed to have been part of the Air Force Athletics Department for about 4 years, calling games for them, covering games for them. So I got to see Air Force's relationship to Army and Air Force's relationship to Navy and basketball and football and the different sports. Air Force is kind of is on the outside. John Feinstein put it best in his book about Army Navy, where he says, Army hates Navy, Navy hates Army, they both hate Air Force. But Army Navy is the rivalry. Of the service academies, Army Navy is the rivalry. Air Force is kind of on the outlier, on the outside looking in. There's a lot of different names and the Zoomies and all this stuff that they've called them. But Army Navy is really special. And I've been to Navy Air Force and I've been to Army Air Force, but Army Navy is different. It's just different, and it's traditional. And it's long passing. But when you get to know people like that, the people who play athletics, who play sports, and then are also going to serve our country in different areas, or are going to be officers, who are going to be the brains behind our military and whatnot, it's really impressive. Watch the game. It's going to be tomorrow afternoon. It's in Philadelphia. What they'll do at halftime, what they'll do after the game, what they'll do before the game, the dignitaries that'll be there. If you're young and you've never seen it, watch it. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. Army-Navy coming up Saturday.